Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Today we're going to do part two of a message, Be Not Deceived. I was deceived into thinking I could do this in one message. Today is part two. Deceived. In all of its simplicity, what is deception? When you think one thing, you're thinking everything is okay, and at some point, you come to the realization it's not so. Your thinking has been faulty, and by design, someone tried to lie to personal gain over you, for whatever reason. Well, no one likes to be deceived. No one wants to be deceived. But it's an unfortunate reality of life. And the greater the deception, the greater the pain. One thing, someone deceives you, maybe in purchasing something, but when we have deception in spiritual truth, it is far greater the pain and far greater the consequences. Well, by way of review, we've considered that Satan is the great deceiver. He deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 3, we see it says, and cast him, Satan, into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. Would you please consider what was just said? Deceive the nations. I believe that extends all the way to government leaders, as well as the people at large. I believe this is why we are in such peril today. Mankind thinks they have the answers apart from God. They're deceived. Satan has been a deceiver from the beginning, and he sets out to deceive people. And yet, how many times do people accuse Christianity as the deceiver? If you remember, at the crucifixion time, Matthew 27:62, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said. Jesus Christ is the deceiver. No, Jesus Christ is not the deceiver. But people want to portray him as the deceiver. No, he's truth. There is a very real spiritual battle for the thinking of mankind. Can we please just step back for a minute and really think about Christianity and God and the Bible? We have a book that we call the Bible, written by God Almighty, inspiration through the Holy Spirit, men wrote as they were led. What do you think the book is supposed to do? We read it, it's to alter our thinking. Right? You see, therefore, the importance of our thinking. You therefore see the danger of deception from Satan, who is more subtle than any beast of the field. The whole idea he gave us a Bible tells us he wants us to read and adjust our thinking accordingly. The essence of spirituality is correct thinking. We remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. And remember, we considered this. And what did they do? They put a Roman guard in front of that tomb so that the disciples could not come and steal the body. I have good news for you. The disciples did not come and steal the body, and Rome made sure of that. And Rome verified that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Thank you, Rome. They set out to prevent, and all they did was verify. Do you really think those disciples overpowered the Roman guards? I don't think so. They fled for their lives. Truth is truth, and eventually truth always prevails. We live in a world full of deceptions, but the Scriptures are the foundation of truth, and therein we must anchor our thinking. So we are considering 8 deceptions where Christians, we must beware. We studied 4 last week. First, A man is deceived if he is a hearer and not a doer of the word. James 1:22. But be ye doers, talking to born-again people, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Now, it's one thing somebody else deceives you. How do you want to deceive yourself? We also considered number two, 1 John 1:8. A man is deceived if he says he has no sin. This is talking again to born-again people. If we, born-again people, say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Back to self-deception. The truth is not in us. Number three, a man is deceived when he thinks himself to be something when he's nothing. Galatians 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Number four, a man is deceived when he thinks himself to be wise with worldly wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool. You see, they think they're wise with the understanding and the wisdom of the world, and they think Christianity is folly. So Paul is saying, that folly is truth, therefore become a fool according to worldly thinking, and you'll find truth. Let him become a fool that he may be wise. Well, let us do the next four in this study, four more of the eight deceptions of which to beware. The fifth deception. A man is deceived when he seems to be religious and does not bridle his tongue. Take a look at James 1:26. If any man among you seems to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This man's religion is vain. I see here two aspects of the issue. This man does not bridle his tongue, is the essence of this. But number two, I also see in the passage and in the writings of James, the incredible danger of that loose cannon tongue. When we let go of our tongue, it's a loose cannon, and it's going to roll over people and hurt or maim terribly. We must control our tongue. Quotes, and bridleth not his tongue, restrains or curbs it not as a horse is restrained with a bridle. Religion is designed to bring the whole man under control and to subdue every faculty of the body and mind to its demands. If the tongue is not restrained, or if there is any unsubdued propensity to sin, whatever, it proves that there is no true religion. He deceives his own heart, implying that he does deceive his heart by supposing that any evidence can prove that he is under the influence of religion if his tongue is unrestrained. Whatever love or zeal or orthodoxy or gift in preaching or in prayer he may have, this one evil propensity will neutralize it all and show that there is no true religion at heart. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. It tells much about you. And that little tongue can do great damage. I want you to think about this simple story. In September 11th, 1995, a squirrel climbed onto the Metro North Railroad power lines near New York City. This set off an electrical surge, which weakened an overhead bracket, which let a wire dangle toward the tracks, which tangled in a train, which tore down all the lines, and as a result, 47,000 commuters were stuck in Manhattan for hours that evening because of a squirrel. And we can say, because of somebody's tongue. They weren't careful what they said. The man is defiled, thinking that he is therefore right before God. He is defiled, and what comes out of his mouth is very dangerous. When the darkest hours of the American Civil War were hovering over the Capitol, many things done by the generals were not approved by either Lincoln or Secretary Stanton. Lincoln would take a long time to ponder over those situations, but Stanton would at times lose his temper and explode. One day, Stanton came to see Lincoln about the doings of a certain general. Listening quietly, Lincoln let Stanton show his anger, and when the latter exclaimed, "I would like to write him a letter and tell him what I think of him," Lincoln remarked quietly, Well, why not do so? Sit down and write him a letter saying all that you have said to me. Stanton was surprised, for he thought that Lincoln would object to this. He declared that he would take the president at his word. 2 days later, he brought Lincoln the letter he had written and read it to him. When Stanton had finished, Lincoln smiled and remarked, "That is all right. You have said all you told me you would. Now what are you going to do with the letter?" "Why, I'm going to give it to him, of course." "I wouldn't," replied the president quietly. "Throw it in the waste basket." "What? After spending 2 days on it?" exclaimed Stanton. "Yes, it took you 2 days to write it, and it did you a lot of good. You feel a good deal better now, and that's what's necessary. Throw it in the waste basket." Maybe sometime you're going to go through some times of anger. You read the scriptures, even in the Psalms, sometimes David sounded off to God. "Oh, God, how long?" And you keep reading that psalm, and at the end of the psalm, he's praising God. He got it off his chest. Sometimes, I'm not saying we're supposed to go and just complain to God, but folks, let's face it. God knows your thoughts anyway. You may as well tell him. Get it off your chest. Argue yourself into correct thinking and move on. God knows we're made of the dust of the ground, and sometimes we're going to get frustrated. What do you do with it? Live in denial? God never asks his people to live in denial. Deal with it. "God, I got a lousy attitude right now. I don't think you're handling this well." Nobody ever felt that way, did they? And get yourself back into reality. Praise God he's merciful, he's forgiving, he's long-suffering. Get your thinking back under control. Throw the letter in the wastebasket and move on. You see, what comes out of your mouth is the real you. Matthew 12:34, "O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart," your thinking and your convictions, out of your thinking, the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of your mouth is what's really in you. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Folks, if you hit your thumb with a hammer, pay attention what comes out of your mouth. That's the real you. Because it's in the heat of the moment. Anybody can fake an action, but no man can fake a reaction. When you smack that thumb with a hammer, what comes out of your mouth is you. "Therefore, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue but deceives his own heart, that man's religion is vain." Number 6. A man is deceived when he thinks that he will not reap what he sows. Very, very famous passage in Scripture, Galatians 6:7. "Be not deceived, Christian. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap." A little boy once went to his mother and said, "Mother, there's a boy out there in the woods, and he's mocking me. Everything I say, he says over to me. I said hello, he said hello. I said, who are you? He said, who are you? I said, what is your name? And he said, what is your name? I was mad and jumped over the fence and went in the woods to find him, but he wasn't anywhere. I said, I'll punch your head, and he said that he would punch mine." The lad's mother said to him, "Son, that's only the echo. If you had said, I love you, it would have said that back to you." Simply put, plant beans, get beans. Be not deceived. What you sow, you will reap. But the problem is too many people do not heed that warning, and so what it is, they plant beans, they plant sin, and they pray for crop failure, and it doesn't work that way. You will reap what you have sown. The problem is many times the delay. Consider Ecclesiastes 8:11. "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." I know what God says, I will reap what I sow. But I sowed this, and guess what? I'm just going on just fine in life because the sentence hasn't come yet. It will come. And so it is that delay sometimes can deceive us. Young people must beware of youthful lusts, because there is coming a day you will reap. I want you to think what Paul wrote to young Timothy, a pastor. 2 Timothy 2:22, young pastor Timothy, flee also youthful lusts. Because you're going to reap what you sow if you pursue those, even as a pastor, and the devil wants to destroy certainly his ministry, you are going to reap it someday. Young people, I want you to especially listen up. You are making decisions today that will affect you the rest of your life. You would do well to heed those words. How many times in the Proverbs the father is crying out, my son, hear me, seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. And again, you may make some very foolish decisions. I got away with it. There is coming a day. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Start sowing good, that you will reap good. Number 7. A man is deceived when he thinks that evil company will not corrupt good morals. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Here is a very, very powerful truth. Who you associate with will affect you. A man may say, I know there's danger, but my principles are fixed. And as I do not go into such company out of any love for their bad conduct, I shall easily avoid what I know to be wrong. The man who talks thus is ignorant both of the power of temptation and of the weakness of his own heart. And he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. And should the tempter suggest, as he did to Jesus, that God will give his angels charge over you to keep you, remember that there is no promise of such protection to those who quit the path in which the Lord requires them to walk. You get out of the path that God has for you, you're not in his will, folks. Brace yourself. You're in dangerous territory. Don't tempt the Lord your God. He cares and protects. And listen, sometimes when you're in the will of God, he may lead you to what we would call, earthly speaking, dangerous territory. Whatever it may be, whatever we perceive to be a bad part of this world, if that's where God wants you, there is no safer place. And if God wants you into what we would call on this earth dangerous territory, and you retreat to some place that you think is safe, folks, that's the most dangerous place you could be. You need to be in the middle of the will of God. Consider, you have your comfort and joy. Refuse to be robbed of them. Why, if you were in a room and you saw a certain number of gentlemen of a suspicious character, and you had your watch with you, would you not feel it necessary to stop and see whether you were able to extract your watch from you? You'd say, no, I'm better to get out of here. If you know you're in a room full of pickpockets, get out of there. Several years ago, true story, a town was riddled with pickpockets. They put up signs, beware of pickpockets. You know what happened? It got worse. You know why? Because the people, this is true. They read the sign, beware of pickpockets. You know the first thing you do? You touch the most valuable thing, your wallet. And you just told the pickpocket where the gold is. And they had to take the signs down. What a world we live in. Those that you commune with will affect you. If you're in a smoky room, you will smell like smoke. I want you to consider the story of long ago, Jacob and his daughter Dinah. Genesis 34:1, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. That's all I want to do. I just want to go out and see. I don't want to become part of it, but the Bible tells us whoever we associate with will affect us. And she said, well, I'm not going to get involved. I just want to look. She would have done well to stay home. Verse 2, and when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. She had no intention of having that happen. She just wanted to look. Folks, God wants us simple concerning evil. There's no need to go out there and look. Stay away from it. Stay away. Listen, these evil communications, the truth is we are walking among sinners, but we're not to be part of it. Jesus Christ came and he associated with sinners so that he could reach them with salvation, but he did not take them on as friends. You're going to have to go out among society, whether you're going to go out as a job, whether you're going to go out and buying things or in the doctor's office or different places, you're going to be among sinners. And God is going to protect you and you stand for truth. This is talking about, are you going to be partaking of these people? We need to go out with the attitude to help them, to be a light in darkness, as Jesus Christ came and went among sinners. And God will protect us as long as that's our attitude. However, when we decide that we're going to become part of it, it won't affect me. I'm strong enough. No, you are not. You're deceived. And consider this. The injurious effect of evil communications is not described as taking place in any sudden or striking manner. Corruption is a gradual change. Silently but surely, evil communications corrupt good manners. What are these evil communications? The tongue, lying, foolish and profane talk. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. But how many times are we around such evil communication? It will affect us. Foul language, swearing. How about this? As we think about the evil communications that we're taking in and allowing to come our way, I like this, the novel. Folks, for every good novel, there's a dozen bad ones. Be very careful what you read. Be very careful what you put in front of your eyes. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, for your Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Until you're 18, and then it's legal to put anything in front of your eyes, right? Folks, that holds true for children and adults. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. It will corrupt you. Whether it's in a novel, it's at the theater, whether it's at home, be careful, little eyes, what you see. I want to warn you of another thing. Culture. Art. Art is many times very immodest and has no business in the Christian life, some of the things that they call art. I'm not against all forms of culture, but let us never confuse culture for spirituality. Let us never confuse patriotism for spirituality. Let us not confuse this conservative lifestyle with spirituality. I'm not against these things, but they're not spirituality. And we can be deceived. Oh, well, I like to listen to this, this, or this. So do I. I have been asked periodically, what do I listen to at home for music? You know what I often listen to? Nothing. How about quiet? How about let's just be quiet? Why do we always have to be entertained? Parents, be careful that your kids are being constantly entertained. Even if it's okay entertainment, do they need to be entertained all the time? I don't think so. Whatever happened to be still and know that I'm God? Whatever happened to meditating on the things of God? I'm not against entertainment, but what did Paul say at the end of the church age? They're going to be a lover of pleasure more than lovers of God. Be careful that you always have to be entertained. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be careful. Number 8. A believer is deceived when he thinks that he can live like the unrighteous and God will not care. 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And he goes on to list these incredible sins that the unsaved indulge in. Many times people get confused on this. What is this? If you do this, therefore you're not going to heaven? You see, this is what unsaved people do. Christian, you have trusted Christ as your Savior. You have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're not guilty of these anymore. God looks down at you and sees you and Jesus Christ as righteous as He is. Why, in the name of common sense, are you living in the sins of the unsaved? That's what it's saying. You've been purged from this. Don't live like that. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's right, they're unrighteous. But when you trust Christ as your Savior, you have the righteousness of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Here it is, clarification, and such were some of you. You folks used to do this stuff. But you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So therefore, be not deceived. Why are you living like the unsaved? Christian, come out from among them. And be holy, for God is holy. If we don't, we're still saved. Because you cannot lose your salvation, but you are not pleasing to God. Think about Paul when he wrote these words to the church at Corinth. They were a mess. And here we see the warning to these Corinthian believers because they were in a position of deception. They were given a warning to prevent them from that deception happening. And you know what? There was no excuse for it to happen, for they were warned. Let us learn from them and not make their mistakes. We have covered 8 deceptions. First, a man is deceived if he's a hearer and not a doer of the word. Second, a man is deceived if he says that he has no sin. Third, a man is deceived when he thinks himself to be something when he's nothing. Fourth, a man is deceived when he thinks himself to be wise with worldly wisdom. Fifth, a man is deceived when he seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue. 6, a man is deceived when he thinks that he will not reap what he sows. 7, a man is deceived when he thinks that evil company will not corrupt good morals. And 8, a man is deceived when he thinks that he can live like the unrighteous and God will not care. We have heard these warnings, and ultimately behind all of those deceptions is our adversary, the devil, who walks about seeking whom he may devour. Have you been paying attention to what we've said? Or are you deceived? This doesn't pertain to me. I'm okay. You're deceived. We're all tempted of the devil to be deceived, to get our thinking incorrect. You have a choice, and it rests with you. You have been warned. What is the foundational deception? Number 1, that Jesus Christ is a deceiver. Christianity is not truth, and he wants to keep unsaved people unsaved. Sir, remember what that deceiver said while he was yet alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. And even today, there are people that question, did Jesus Christ really rise from the dead? That's a myth. That's a story. And they come up with all manner of excuses to deny the resurrection. No, that is the truth. Jesus Christ said, I will rise after 3 days, and he did. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am not a deceiver. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Did you know, in order for there to be a deception, there has to be truth? I think one of the greatest evidences of Christianity is the incredible opposition that it faces. Let that be a testimony to its greatness, to its authenticity. Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.